Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Triforce Podcast, featuring Lewis Brindley.
Hello.
Pyrion Flax.
What's up?
And me, Brian.
How are you, Brian?
Kind of new here. Just hoping that we could just like
just to fill you in,
tell each other a little bit about ourselves and stuff.
I tell you let's give you a little rundown of how this works, okay?
Right. Yeah.
If you're new, the first thing you have to you pay us to appear on the podcast because this is like for exposure, okay?
Oh, so shit, okay.
It's for every person that listens to the podcast, you give us £100.
Right. But there's a problem straight away. I only have bitcoins.
Well, I only take sexual favors as currency.
For him,
because bitcoins could crash any time, whereas a blowjob's always a blowjob.
That's in the bank.
It's very consistent.
Shit, you know what? I think you might have solved something there, Lulu.
The currency
the value
crisis.
Of sex or sexual favors is never going to diminish. Like, it's probably the most stable currency the world has. It appeals to almost everybody. Why haven't we been doing it this way all along?
Everyone's going to need it.
It would really make you think before you bought a new sofa as well, the things you'd have to do for a new sofa. Yeah.
This week only at DFS, £1,000 for a sofa, or blow us a couple of times.
Blow these two guys.
a little tiny bit of anal. just a smidge of anal, and the sofa is yours.
McDonald's, can I take your order, please? Three Happy Meals, please, and a large quarter pounder with cheese. That'll be two hand jobs and a rimming.
That'll be one bukkake on you, of course.
So you might not be able to tell, but I have bronchitis. I am dying.
Well
of
done.
Bronchitis.
Well done. Can people die from that?
No, it's like you've had worse. We've had worse. I've had worse. I feel fine, but when I laugh, I die.
Hmm. Where is bronchitis on the spectrum, though? Like, what's worse than it? And
worse than it is pneumonia. And better than it is a cold.
I had pneumonia when I was smaller. Does that make me the winner?
Yeah, that's definitely worse. If you've had pneumonia, that's because it's lower down in the lungs. It's pretty bad pneumonia.
Pretty bad.
You don't want to get that.
I had
that.
Appendicitis when I was a kid. That was pretty bad.
Oh, no. Do you have to have it out?
You can die from that. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You can. Yeah, it can poison you.
Yeah,
a girl at my school had it and she was screaming. Like,
oh, it's
I've
bad.
Never heard anyone
it's
scream
really
before.
It's really bad. Like, I was like 7 years old, I think. I remember it. This is when we were in the States, and I remember waking up and my stomach was really painful and I felt really sick. And I went to go and see my parents in their room and I was sick outside their door. And my mum opened the door and she
was
like,
"That's when
you
know
right.
someone's going to take it seriously." Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, "Whoop." And then she.
There's like those certain warning signs, right? Where first, because normally people think, "Oh, I'm a bit sick. Don't worry about it. I'll get better. And then there's that one thing that happens and you're like, "Okay.
Yeah. This isn't normal.
This is probably go to the doctor now."
Because she used to be a nurse. So she knows a bit. She was like, "Right, lie down." And I was like complaining about my stomach. And she pushed the part of my stomach where your appendix is, which is like on the right-hand side. And I was like, "Ah!" So she was like, "All right, that's the appendix." So she had to try and get me to the hospital. Because if you call an ambulance, it's like very expensive, right? So we were going to get a cab to the hospital.
Course, yeah.
Oh, is this here in America?
Yeah, in New York. So
good old America.
I know. Isn't it a great system?
What a wonderful system.
Land of the free, home of the brave, brave cab takers when you're sick because you can't afford
it. That's why they have the most competitive ambulances in the world. Theirs can fly. They can go through time. They're rocket powered because, competition has led to far better ambulances than we have, and they can go underwater as well. And they can transform. They go, you only have to give them a power cube And away they go. Like that's the system works.
I mean, the last thing you want to do as well is call an ambulance and have to pay for it on the spot with a blowjob when you
exactly.
when you've got your appendix.
Yeah, right.
She'd have to be like, turn around, don't look at mummy sucking off the ambulance, man. This God. Is for your own good.
Yeah. Do you think they have like commercials? Because it's like privatized and there's competition and stuff. Do you think they have commercials like, next time you need an ambulance, look no further than Crazy Eddie's Ambulance Service. That's right, boys and girls. We got it all. Sirens, medical supplies, bed inside the ambulance.
You order one ambulance and we bring you two. That's right. For a limited time only, two ambulances for the price of one.
But that's not all. You guys may have heard about my competitor, Crazy Eddie and his ambulances. Here at Vinny's Ambulances, let me tell you something. Forget about it. These are the best ambulances you guys ever seen. You've never seen ambulances like this.
You want to hear the siren on this bitch.
Hey, you get in our ambulance, you get a plate of gabagool right off the bat. Plate of gabagool for free. Second of all...
We even got an oven. We got an oven in the back of the ambulance with my wife, Ziti.
I got a tray of my wife, Ziti, right here on the passenger seat. Go ahead, tuck in. Come out, make some fucking ziti for the guys. Fucking legs hanging off.
Hey, and for the kids, we got a little pot of bonbons for them as well. The little fuckers, fucking bonbons up in this.
Bonbons. Kids love bonbons. Yeah. We got it. Only here at Vinny's Ambulance Services. Hey.
That's a 1-800 fuck you. That's right. 1-800 go fuck yourself.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's probably how it works. So you've had your appendix removed. Lewis, have you had any body parts removed in your life?
I've had like 4 wisdom teeth removed and 4 other teeth removed. So I've got like, I've only got like 4 teeth total left
Jesus.
In my mouth.
Jesus.
That's why
Christ.
You do that old man toothless voice so well, because you literally are
a toothless.
Yeah, I notice occasionally a couple of whistles. That must be coming from like the cavernous spaces between your teeth that you still have.
I've just got a very small mouth. It makes, I mean, it's not a good thing to have in a blowjob based economy as well.
No, yeah, God. So I've got a petite mouth. We're looking for somebody who's got a really, really tiny dick so that this man can suck you off. He can't accept anything bigger than a microscopic penis, unfortunately.
I'm sorry. So your mouth is too small to bank with us. It's impossible.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Hey, so I've had my gallbladder removed. Do you guys know what that is? Or what it even does?
Not really. No.
So it's like a little fucking sack of bile.
Sounds important, to be honest.
It's not, though. That's the thing. Like, we don't need it anymore.
How many things are in us that we don't need?
Well, gallbladder is definitely one of them, because I've been fine for the past, like, 8 years without one.
Wait till you need all that gall. You're going to be... Oh,
one day,
I wish I had some gall.
Fucker, I could do with some gall right now.
No, I had, like, this... Like, it's a genetic thing, apparently. Like, I had, like, this, like... some of the bile was like crystallized inside my gallbladder, and when you eat something that's like really high in fat, you know, like, because when we were cavemen, we didn't eat like a lot of fat, but when we did eat fat, it was like a huge amount in like one go. Yeah. So the idea was that your gallbladder would like activate, pump out some more bile into your stomach to help you, break down
for
the fat.
For those of you who did know, Sips and Pyrian are pretty old, so there was a time when they were actually cavemen.
That's right, yeah. So,
we remember it.
So back in the day, I needed one. But yeah, so fucking there's like, it was crystallized, and there's like this little tiny fucking tube that's like super duper like sensitive. And when the gallbladder goes to do its thing, it was trying to push like little rocks through it, and holy fuck... Like, I used to live close to the hospital. I was up in the night, and same as Pyrian, I was barfing and everything. I was like, what the fuck? I'm dying. Like, I've never felt this horrible in my whole life. I was, like, in pain. I was, like, crying a bit. I was barfing. So I went over to the emergency room, and they were like, oh, shit, like, you might have had a heart attack or something. I was like, what the fuck? I'm, like, 25 years old. How the hell have I had a heart attack? And they're like, oh, well, you never know. So they checked me for all this stuff. And they're like, nah, you haven't had a heart attack. You can go home. It's like, oh, what the fuck, though? Like, I'm still in a lot of pain and I've been barfing and stuff. But, nah, well, we can't do anything for you. All right, thanks. It was pretty weird. But then I went to the doctors. And he's like, yeah. They gave me an ultrasound, saw this crystallized stuff, and then they just, like, keyhole surgery, bam, removed my gallbladder.
You felt better?
They gave me, like, a little cup at the end with, like, all of the fucking, like, hardened crystals. They were gross. Holy shit. They looked like... rotten teeth. It was really
oh my god,
like, I thought they were around inside this thing. Yeah,
that's weird, because I didn't know what like They would like, but I mean, it's a common thing to have stones, isn't it? Gallstones, I guess they are. But also, you can get kidney stones, can't you? And other types.
Kidney stones are pretty bad too. Yeah.
I think
gallstones fairly common, but it's more common in older people.
I think like those are the little kind of, they look like little stars, don't they? Like little snowflakes or something, but quite big. And I think they're supposed to be very painful. It's one of the most painful things apart from childbirth is to have like kidney stones and trying to pass them.
Oh god, yeah, because nothing but pee is meant to go up that pee tube.
Exactly. So, like, especially not.
Oh god. Up it. You're like trying to pee a golf ball out of your dick. No way.
Yeah. Go. Jeez. It says here, according to Chinese medicine, the gallbladder is seen as the seat of decision making, right? Which I think you've had your gallbladder removed, and I think that says a lot about you, Six.
Can I just say, I don't want to spread around the lies of alternative medicine, even as a joke. I think it should be a topic that we do not journey towards, because down that path lies anti-vaxxing.
Angry
and
bullshit. Vax.
I get furious about people yelling. Who say, you
full of bile and gall.
My gallbladder is enormous as a result of all this bullshit that I have to hear. All this bile is just stored up. I'm just waiting for someone to come up to me and say, I hope you didn't vaccinate your kids, and I will vomit bile in their face. Black bile.
Yeah. All over the place, yeah. Oh, man. I can't think of anything that smells worse than bile, though. God, it's so gross. Fuck
it's me. Pretty bad.
It's really.
Well, I mean,
really
you haven't got anywhere to store it anymore, the bile.
Yeah,
that's just the whole point.
Like,
right?
Your stomach produces it too, though, hotshot.
Where are you keeping it?
Yeah, where are you putting all that bile?
I keep it in an old can of Coke and I just drink it down.
Oh, man.
Just on the side.
Just like tabs missing. Like, don't drink that. What is it? Don't touch it. It's my bile. I need it.
Yep. Don't touch daddy's bile.
I might have to eat some cheese later, so I'm going to wash it down with what's in this can of Coke.
I got to break this down somehow, kids. Jeez, I'm going to die if I eat this cheese.
So no, don't worry, P-Flex, we're not going to go into complimentary.
Don't call it complimentary.
Why?
That's like a nice thing to say about something, isn't it? That was very complimentary. It's bullshit. Call it bullshit. Yeah.
Okay. What's the scope for this stuff, though? You're talking about like the drops and like the fucking crystals.
I'm talking if anyone tells you
acupuncture,
any of that shit.
Right. You include all of it.
Oh, the whole thing. The whole pantheon.
What about the Alexander technique?
What's
that? Have you heard of that?
What's that?
It's like a technique that sort of teaches you to retrain your posture and stuff, because they think that a lot of like illnesses, like common, like modern day illnesses, are caused by people like slumped over at desks for like 12 hours a day.
Is there any science to back this up?
Probably not, no.
Then I don't fucking care.
You just don't give a shit about it at all.
If you can't test it, it doesn't exist. If you can't test that it works, there's no point saying it worked for my mate Terry. Like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Fuck
That's
Terry.
That's not scientific enough?
It's not scientific. The sample size needs to be big. The science needs to be solid. It needs to be peer-reviewed and consistent. Uh-huh. And it also needs to be better than the alternative.
Completely devoid of Terry. He cannot
Get
be
Terry
involved
Get Terry the
whatsoever.
Fuck out. He knows nothing. Right. He's clueless.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of people spending their lives very carefully studying that all the medicine that we've got and the techniques and everything are working. If a better one comes along, great, we'll switch to that now. That's better. That's progress. Saying they've used rosehip to heal people's bleeding eyes for thousands of years in the northern mountains of the Hindu Kush. No, it doesn't matter. All right. The reason that they did it thousands of years ago is because they didn't have modern medicine. Saying it's really
That's
old,
right,
that means
yeah.
it's good. Fuck off. Fuck off.
I mean, it might have worked. It might have worked. But the fact of the matter is, back then, is that, yeah, sure, maybe that like helped you temporarily. But then you just died at the age of like 25 anyway, because we were without modern medicine, right? Like
I
medieval
guess, yeah.
times.
Could be that.
Like people just lived in squalor and they died from like all sorts of
No one cleaned
weird
their teeth.
Shit. No.
Like everyone
they used
was
to
like,
dump,
toothless.
Like, they used to dump their commodes like just out in the road and people would walk through them and like trudge all that shit back through their house and they'd get fucking diarrhea
know what?
And die.
I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. I can't remember if we mentioned it on a previous podcast. If we did, I apologize. It's been a long time that we've been doing this and occasionally the same topic repeats itself. But you go back in time, right? You're a time traveler. You go back about
that was a really dramatic pause.
I know it was.
I'm setting the scene. You go back about 600-700 years. All right. And
600-700, that's a long ass time.
It's a long time.
Like,
you've gone
I'm
way
just
back.
Saying.
You've gone way back.
You're talking like pre-industrial revolution, everything.
Yeah, it's like 1300.
That's like really, really long time.
It's like 14th century. It's proper old school, okay?
Right.
You're walking like, through
like
a small town. We're
talking like the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria like times
yeah.
now.
We're like yeah. in so, the Middle Ages.
Yeah, yeah, we are. So you're walking through town, a small village, somewhere right. in rural Dorset, and you see a beautiful young woman. But ask yourself these questions before you think about indulging in some time travel.
What kind of currency are people using to trade?
They're still on money. They haven't moved up to sexual right. favors yet. It's still money.
Okay. No, yeah. Well, they're very backwards.
They're backwards people. First of all, she's going to stink, isn't she? Let's be honest. She's going to stink. Like, really, really bad. They didn't have any kind. They didn't bathe. They didn't bathe. Most people didn't
but
bathe.
But women just have a pleasant smell about them anyway.
Not in,
like,
not this, in the 1300s. Back,
no,
in rural
come on.
Dorset.
Even in the 1300s. Okay, like.
No.
We're meant to believe that, no, but even back then, like, even the Egyptians had, like, perfumes and stuff. Perfume's yeah, no, been around do, for a long do,
who,
time.
Who were those for? Sips, my boy. Do you think the average Egyptian dude that just ran like a papyrus stall, do you think he can afford perfume? It's for the wealthy. I'm not talking about the wealthy. Maybe I'm talking about your average girl in the street, girl next door. She's an apple farmer, right? She's out in the sun all day.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Wow, she's like really past her.
She's pretty much
past
her best.
What's going
on? But are we talking about this in the context of you time traveling?
She's got to be seriously
saying
ugly.
Imagine you live back in this time because it's all relative, right? You don't know any better, so you don't give a fuck.
Right, but that's my point. People talk about time travel.
She's unmarried, though, right?
Okay, you're actually talking about like
constantly. I'm still constantly about time traveling, sex adventures.
I'm very interested in this girl. Can I have more information?
What do you want
to
know?
You're talking about people being used to the age of like hygiene and self-grooming,
no,
going
not.
Back to a time
no,
where
no,
none
no,
of that existed.
That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about.
Does she still live with her parents? Because she probably has to bathe in the same tub once a week after the dad's
gone. After dad,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
So she's in dad's old bathwater if they have a bath. A lot of people wouldn't have done. Maybe occasionally she takes a dip in the river. But I mean, all right, so second of all, she's going to be hairy as fuck, like everywhere, like super, super hairy.
I don't mind that.
Whoa, that's fine.
Really?
By me.
Yeah, natural hairiness. I've got a soft spot for that for sure.
Well, wow.
Or I should
say
a hard spot for that.
It's gonna be hairy and smelly.
Man, I don't think it's that bad.
She's
I don't
not
think
French.
It's that bad.
She's England.
You're mocking Lewis's only having one tooth, right? This woman's lucky to have any teeth. By 22,
howdy, girlie.
Her teeth
How
are going to be
doing
snaggled.
That?
Want some apples, young man? Actually, no. I just wanted to have sex. You up for that? Jeez.
Well, I haven't bathed in 10 years.
Man, I'm hairy as fuck, young man. But if you want to jump my bones, then
you want a hairy, smelly ride? I'm right here. Mine my tooth.
It smells like a dog kennel down there, but, you know, you're up for it.
Oh, Jesus.
All I'm saying is the doc did not warn Marty about the risks of time travel. If he'd gone back too far and had to have sex with, instead of his mother, someone else, you know, you never know what might have happened. He might have been seriously disappointed.
I don't know. I think people throughout history have always been very conscious of this, and I think they've done their best to wear clean things and stay clean. I don't think, you know, sure, like, if it was a hot summer day and, you know, she'd been like really sweating her ass off picking apples all day.
Oh,
and
the human adult body is pretty smelly, though. Like, you know, you have to do a lot to keep on top of that stench. Like,
but some people like it a bit raw and ready. And it's like fresh sweat isn't actually that bad. It's more like day old sweat is bad.
Yeah, old stale sweat. That's the stinky stuff for
sure. That's the bad
Especially
place.
If you've got like a couple of rolls and stuff as well and it just gets stuck in there. You can't wash in there and stuff. And
why is she carrying rolls? I thought she was an apple salesman.
Well, maybe she's I don't know. Maybe she's
she
like,
bake her as
maybe
well?
She's branching out. She wants to make maybe she was pioneering apple pies, maybe.
Oh, good thinking. Good thinking.
Apple strudels.
No, so I don't even know how we got into this line of discussion, but
yeah, Flax, I think you're full of shit, man. I don't care if somebody's a little bit smelly or hairy. Like, you know, she might be fucking hot. Who cares?
You know what?
Like,
you can't afford to
some
be
of
choosy.
Us can't be,
you can't
some
be choosy. You
beggars
ain't
can't
got
be
a
choosers,
fucking
P-Flex.
Gallbladder, and you've only got two fucking teeth. So no wonder you guys are happy to jump a smelly, hairy medieval woman. You couldn't fucking wait. I'm a high class Twickenhamite, all right? I got choices.
That's where I come from. I'm a freak of nature, baby. I'm missing my gallbladder. You know what that is? No? All right, let's do it.
Oh,
Mr. Sips.
I've never
seen a man without a gallbladder before.
Tell me more about brushing your teeth. That sounds like the work of the devil, sir.
Oh my goodness me, sir. Have you been shaving yourself, sir? You're bald as a baby down there.
Why, sir?
Oh God, why do we always talk about shaving like all the time? What the fuck is wrong with us?
We're men.
Pyrion likes to have a bald, he's got a bald head. He's bald across his whole body.
I guess, yeah.
No, Pyrion loves a bald head. I'm hairy everywhere else. I've got a hairy chest, hairy arms, hairy balls, the whole
fucking
the whole
don't
thing.
Show off.
Hairy
don't
legs.
Show off.
I'm wearing shorts today. Get a lot of these hairy fucking pins. I'd go, me and that medieval girl side by side. She'd be appalled at the wearing of shorts. Shorts! Why, what's the world coming to is shorts? Oh, my, I've
never
seen
they gotta
seen
have,
the
like, their dresses right down to their ankles, like, back
in
those
days, do you know what that means? Hot.
Yeah.
Sweaty. Unwashed. Oof. Stank.
Mm.
They're gonna smell like the homeless. Basically, if you go back in time, medieval time travel fuck with an apple seller, it's going to be like fucking a homeless woman. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
Just consider it.
Well, I mean, some people are up for that, though. I'm just saying.
Like, are you into that? Do you know what that's a branch of pornography that I haven't seen catching on? Ugly people. Like, where's that category?
I think that's amateur, actually.
No, but you get some good-looking amateurs. What I'm saying is, like, I want a category. When you look at the category, it's just like, you know, you've got all of them A to Z. I want ugly. Just ugly. Just a category of ugly
people. Just ugly. I'm sure you can find it.
Like, maybe.
I mean, there's like all sorts of porn if you really put your mind to it and look around.
It must be someone's thing. It must be someone's thing. Damn, look how ugly they are.
Well, look at all the Overwatch porn there is. I mean,
not again.
I know.
Not
we've
again.
Talked about this before, but yes, like, it's true. You know, if there's Overwatch porn, I feel like there's going to be porn on anything. There's probably porns of people fucking like their fridge and stuff. Like,
you know, some of the weirdest stuff is the stuff with people who are into inflating things. Like, there are these guys who get inside a rubber suit and then you plug it into like a thing and it pumps up and they can't move. Like, they're stuck in a small corridor.
Weird.
I mean, I feel like that would kind of remind you of being born, right? You're like, you're stuck in a very tight place and you can't move.
How do you know, though? What's your journey to that? Like, how do you go from not having inflatables to then all of a sudden getting off on being inflated and inflatables? Like,
it's a very incremental, weird path that I take, though, I suppose.
Started
it's
off
like
with
anything.
Balloon animals, really, really got turned on by balloon animals. And then I guess one day they were in a rubber ring at the seaside, and they thought, I'm really into this.
I'm really fucking
way
this.
More into this than I am.
I have an enormous boner in this
holy
rubber
shit,
ring.
Shit, I cannot contain
this
it.
This is incredible.
Clear the beach, everybody. I'm fucking this. But, like, you know, seriously, like, how does that develop, though? Like, where do you get
I think it's literally like that.
It's so prop heavy. It's not like just going to the bathroom and just like knocking one out, you know, like you got to have a pump and like fucking all these like different things. And
you got to pray to God no one walks in on you.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like, how do you get a house to yourself for that long to do all that?
I think if you're into that, that's not really a concern. Like, if your fetish is inflating yourself inside a suit so that you can't move in a tight corridor, I'm pretty sure you're alone in the first place.
So. Maybe I'm coming at it from the wrong angle. Like,
all your housemates are coming in, people calling, hey, how's it going, Terry? Oh, Terry's fucking inflated himself. Why am I obsessed with the word Terry today? What happened? I'm going to Google Terry. By the way, Terry. Rest in peace, Roger Moore. So Roger Moore.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, he passed away. Fucking, he had a good old long life, though. He was like well in his 80s and stuff when he passed away.
89.
Still sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy posted a story, which I thought was really good. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so this is a story about Roger Moore. Hold on.
Right.
One of the things he sort of said he wanted to be most remembered for was his work for UNICEF, which is quite a nice thing, I guess, because a lot of these people who are extremely famous for being a certain thing, like
James
Arthur Conan Doyle for Sherlock Holmes. And
like a cultural icon, yeah.
Yeah, like, they all, sometimes they feel this pressure to try and make up for or do something else with their life that isn't that cliched, popular thing they're known for. And I think he worked for like, you know, like 20, 30, 40 years as this UNICEF goodwill ambassador.
I pioneered modern medicine and I completely revamped the way that people live their lives. But honestly, I hope that people remember me for my obsession with inflating myself and masturbating. That's what I want to be remembered for, really.
Well, not for all the good obviously, stuff that's what you'd want. But.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so here's the story. This guy, he's 7 years old, and he's going through the airport in Nice. I'm gonna summarize it. He sees Roger Moore there reading a paper, right? So his granddad, he asks his granddad to go over and get the autograph. He was too shy to do it himself. Granddad comes back with the autograph, and he looks at it, and it says Roger Moore, and the kid's gutted. He's like, why doesn't it say James Bond? Like, he's James Bond. He's not Roger Moore. Like, what's up with that? So he goes up. The granddad goes up to Roger Moore and says, "I'm afraid you've signed the wrong name. My grandson says you signed the wrong name. It should say James Bond." And Roger Moore beckons the kid over and says, "I have to sign my name as Roger Moore because otherwise Blofeld might find out that I was here. So don't tell anyone that you saw James Bond. Please keep my secret." Now, this is where the story gets really good, okay? It says years later, he's working on this recording for UNICEF. He's like a scriptwriter. He's doing stuff for them. Roger Moore does a piece to camera. He's like an ambassador and everything. And he tells Roger Moore the story. And Roger Moore says, "I don't remember it, but I'm glad you got to meet James Bond." And that was the end of it. And then this is what he did. After filming, walking past Roger Moore in the corridor, and as they get level, Roger Moore stops. He looks both ways, and he says, "Of course I remember our meeting in Nice, but I didn't say anything in there, because those cameramen could be working for Blofeld." That was amazing. Like, if that is a true story, so that is just so, so good.
That is so great. Holy shit.
Oh, God. Oh, that's great.
That's really funny.
That was a guy told what that story on Twitter. It was so good. Someone should be able to find it. But yeah, it was a good one.
I think those little moments or anecdotes really kind of, it's the little details in them, isn't it? It's the little kind of, it's just such so warming, such a better way to remember someone than you know, a catalogue of what films they did 100%, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
He could have been so shitty about it too. And I was actually expecting it to go shitty, you know, like, you signed the wrong name, and like, you know, he could have just gone off on one and been stroppy about it and been like, "Well, I'm not James Bond, I'm Roger Moore," blah, and stuff, you know, like, but that's so cool. That's such a
very down-to-earth
thing to do, yeah.
I mean, really that's nice. The thing, if, you know, you don't hear bad stories about Roger Moore, people saying, "Oh, he was a real shit," you know? Like, for instance, Sean Connery, if you look on YouTube, you can find a conversation that he did. I think it was in the 70s, or maybe the early 80s, where he's talking about sometimes a woman just won't shut her mouth and you've got to slap her one. Like, that's like his interview that he did on TV.
Nice.
"Sometimes she just won't shut up and you've just got to slap her in the face. Shut up.
Sometimes you just got to slap a bitch.
Sometimes. Is Sean Connery going to have to slap a bitch?"
"Sometimes she's just really hairy down there and really stinky, and you just have to tell her to,
she's
you know, just get in that river and strip all your clothes off.
Wash
and
yourself.
And then bake me a fucking apple pie, bitch."
Jesus.
Oh, "Drop those apples and pick up a Bic, for fuck's sake. Jesus."
"Bic yourself, woman."
Oh, fuck. Yeah, well, so Roger Moore, I'd still stand by that. I mean, the fact is, like, when you die when you're 89 of, like, whatever ends up killing you, it's probably still better than dying at, like, the age of 52 from, like, an accidental overdose or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's always a bit more tragic when somebody's younger and, like...
I see, you know, what you mean.
It's kind of shitty, you know, and like, especially like when you hear that like a child has passed away or whatever, you're like, oh fuck, that's like horrible. That's the worst one, isn't it? It's not only does it suck so bad for the kid who never got to like live much life, but man, it like sucks so fucking bad for the parents. Like, holy shit. Yeah. Like I would fucking kill myself. I would, like, I could not live
knowing
that like my kids died. Like, fuck, that would be awful.
It's like the worst goddamn thing.
I feel like it's almost like when someone dies, like when they're like 89, it feels almost to me like it's the end of a book where, you know, you're sad, but you know, it's the end of a chapter. You've seen everything. Whereas when someone dies, sure, it's almost like, well, you know, there could have been so much more in that book, you know, so many things that weren't, we never saw, that's, you know, whereas when someone comes to the end of their life, naturally you feel like, well, that was,
you know, they did everything that they were going
to
do.
We understand that eventually it is going to happen to everybody. Yeah. Like, you understand, but like you said, I think that's a good analogy. The end of a good book, it's got a good, you know, good closing, and yes, it does
sometimes
end sadly.
Sometimes you do feel a little, that feeling, that little sadness that it's over.
Yeah, I hate that. Yeah. Finish a good book, you finish that last page, you close it, and you realize I'm never going to be able to really read that book again, like...
On the topic of books, like, I haven't read a book in a long time.
You couldn't
it's
even
hard
say it. That's how bad it's
when
been.
You have, yeah, it's like I'm fucking dribbling mess at this point. I haven't read a book in a while. Because I play a lot of video games.
Yeah,
no
need to make excuses.
And,
we understand.
But I picked up Red Rising because you kept going on about it, saying it was super good. So I actually went to go get it from the library, and they didn't have it because we were at the library with the kids. So I was like, yeah, maybe I'll check for Red Rising. They have
it. Right.
So I went and bought it. I didn't even get it for like a tablet or anything. I actually bought a paper book, and it's nice. It's actually just nice to hold a paper book and read a paper book. And holy shit, Red Rising is really fucking good.
It is good.
I cannot put it down. I'm reading it like everywhere in the bath.
Dude.
Like, I'm reading it while I'm fucking cooking dinner and stuff. Like, it is really good.
Yep.
I like it a lot.
That was it.
It's part of a trilogy,
that.
Right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it literally gets better and better. Gets better and better. It is so fucked. It is one of those things you're just like, oh shit, just one more chapter. Like, I haven't had a book like that in such a long time.
No, I've picked up so many books and they've just not held me at all. And I've been really disappointed lately. I've read a bunch of things and just been like, ugh, this
is
a slog.
There's not enough anime in the book.
I don't know. Maybe I've been spoiled by some of the things, though.
Some
like,
anime.
You know, we always talk about how much we like Brandon Sanderson.
I watched anime and now I just can't read anything.
None of these characters have tentacles. None of them are. None of them can punch someone and kill them with a single blow. I don't know what I'm reading anymore.
I only read a book where the main hero has no gallbladder. I will not read a book unless the gallbladder hero... No gallbladder hero.
I'm getting so fucking angry I can't even speak anymore. Oh my god. No, but yeah, so like I can totally fucking recommend Red Rising. If you've never read it before, I don't even find it too sci-fi heavy, you know? Like, I was telling my wife about it. My wife does not like sci-fi. Like,
right.
She does. When I try to talk to her about space and like how amazing it is that the sun, like the power of the sun reaches us, it's super far away and stuff, she's like, oh, fucking shut up. Like, I don't care about any of this stuff. Like, just, you know, I don't want to talk about this. I'm like, okay, fine. But I told her about this book. And I was like, there's no like... You know, he doesn't pull out his reverse photon 3929-D defibrillator thing or whatever. Like, it's all, like, kind of... It's just, like, a really cool story. And she's like, I might read that after you're done. So,
this
like...
This sounds like a sideways insult to Bodega, quite honestly. This sounds like you're having a pop.
Whoa.
Are you having a fucking pop at Bodega?
No, I'm fucking not, okay? Jeez, like, if I was going to say that I didn't like Bodega, I would just come up straight up and I'd say, I fucking hate Bodega. Like,
you wouldn't have the guts.
I would not mince my words about that.
I don't think you're offended by this P-flex, are you?
I'm just fucking around.
So, oh my God, I'm loving stuff. It's the weather, really, right? It's like... Yeah. Being out, like you were at this morning on a spot. What were you doing this morning, Sips?
Yeah, a sponsored walk with a class of 45-year-olds. Wow, that was really fun.
45-year-olds? What are they doing?
No, 40 individual 5-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I think kids just want to kill themselves. Like, it's crazy. They have no sort of concept of what's going on around them ever. Like, with the amount of people that need to help a column of 40 kids get like down a pedestrian walkway to like an objective and then back is staggering. It's crazy. Like, so many people need to get involved to like stop cars and like put their arms up when the kids cross the road.
Right.
Have to help them with their snacks and stuff when we get to the place because they're tired. They have to have some water and some snacks and stuff. And then you have to bring them back. I mean, it was a nice day and everything, but man, I'm glad I don't have 40 kids. Like, that would
How
be
far
worst.
Did they walk?
Like half a mile, maybe? It took like 3 hours. Like, it was crazy.
So it was just, did you sponsor anyone? Did you sponsor your own kid? How does it work?
Yeah.
Did you get any sponsors?
We sponsored him, and then like all of our family members and some of our neighbors, you sponsored him as well. Just FYI.
Okay.
A couple of other people, you know. And yeah, so he did pretty good. Like, he finished the walk, but it's not really about that anyway. But I think they're trying to save up for like a new fucking, I don't know, like a trampoline or something. I don't know what the fuck they're going to use the money for. But anyway, they do one every year. They raise money and they get something cool, like for the kids at the school sort of thing. So it's like worth doing and stuff, but man.
This year we're going to spend all the money on an autograph from the legendary Rushmore. We heard that some of the members of the class were big fans.
Yeah, and he's really fun to get an autograph from. He put some RP into it and stuff. Hey, it's great. It's worth every penny.
Man, just go back to what I was saying before about sunshine, though. Man, it's nothing like reading a real book in the sunshine because you just can't.
You
do
like
it
to
on,
read
like,
outside?
iPad.
I don't know.
Yeah,
about that.
Oh, I hate it. The sun bounces off the page. I've got to squint. I'm either looking into the sun, so the sunlight isn't hitting the page, or I've got the book with the sun hitting it, it's blinding me.
But it's impossible to read on any kind of normal,
No, I think those Kindle thingies work, don't they?
Well, I don't know. I've never
used
a Kindle.
Because that looks like paper anyway.
Though.
You ever seen one of those things? That's like magic.
I disagree, Lewis. I like the sun as much as the next guy, but I'm not going to be sitting out there for too long. Like, I don't want to get burnt. It's too hot. It's kind of
You just walked 3 hours in it. What are you talking about?
I know. Well, I didn't have a choice in that. I'm not going to go out of my way to sit outside and read a book when
that's
I can
That's his entire sunshine quota for the year.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, you're done. You're ready for autumn again, aren't you?
Pretty much now, yeah.
Goddamn Canadian bastard.
The minute I get a little bit of sun, I'm just like, I'm done. Bring on the winter. Let's get back to like 6 months of gray drudgery, please. Like cold and gray, wet, damp. It's so damp over here too.
Damn.
You know, you miss it after a while. You just think like, fuck all this sun. Let's get back to that shit. That's great.
Do you know what I watched on TV last night? You don't, but I'll tell you. I watched a show called Gordon Ramsay's Hotel Horrors or Hotel Hell.
Oh, God.
Have you heard of this show?
Is this the one where he goes to America and goes to hotels?
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
always like family-run hotels that are just total garbage
Awful.
And nobody stays at them?
I mean, the weird thing is, like, he goes to this hotel. It's in New Orleans. And it's, like, right in the old town. So it's, like, it's a really historic building. Ulysses S. Grant stayed at this hotel, like, you know, obviously a while back. But they bought it, like, recently, like, 9 months ago. These three guys, they're like college friends or whatever. The guys must have been in their 30s, maybe early 40s, but I think more like 30s. And they bought this place, and none of them have a fucking clue how to run a hotel. The main guy, the guy that got most of the airtime because he was the biggest dickhead, he said he'd only stayed in a hotel maybe 20 times in his life. And he thinks, a hotel, that's what we'll do. And they bought this historic building, and they just had no idea how to run it. They just wanted to go to the bar. So every night the bar opens, stays open until ultra late. Gordon Ramsay's upstairs in one of the rooms, and all you can hear is people screaming downstairs in the bar. And then there's a garden outside the bar, and people are there in the garden drinking and shouting. You can hear the street. And the rooms are right next to that garden. So anyone in that room just has people reveling all night long and just screaming. Like, wah! You know the way Americans do when they get really drunk? Woo!
Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff. They love a good old woo.
They like doing whooping a lot, don't they?
They do. They really do.
Americans love a whoop.
Americans are really into whooping and
I mean, you just don't get that
stuff.
Over here. But you go out in the States, you really do hear a lot of woo like that.
No, I just think like British people are just a lot more confrontational, but not necessarily yelling. They're like, did you just look at my bird and then headbutt you in the face?
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
Like
I mean, you're going to get that.
That's not. Yeah.
But you get bar fights in the States as well, definitely. But these guys.
More whooping.
They didn't have any general manager. They just were all in charge of a different section. So this guy's in charge of the bar. This guy's in charge of the food. And this guy's just the front of house guy. But there's no GM. And none of them had eaten the food in the restaurant. Okay? So they were talking about, Gordon Ramsay ordered the food. It was disgusting, obviously. And he said to the guys, the two other guys, have you ever eaten your head chef's food? And they were like, oh, no, never have. Absolutely never have. But I know he's fantastic. You're going to love it.
Oh,
and Gordon Ramsay was like, no, I've had it. It was fucking awful. Like, it was so, so bad. And they just never eat it. How do you do that? Like, you don't even need to know how to run a restaurant or a hotel to know that you should probably taste your own food. It just blew my mind.
Hotel food is never that great, though, to be fair, is it?
Like, I don't... Well, I mean, come on. When we
had this
BlizzCon.
Conversation last week, those sips, and I think you're one of those people who doesn't know. Like, do you know what I mean, P-Flex? You were talking about how people say, oh, you know, the food's great here. Sips, you like what you like, and you like margarita pizzas.
Right, yeah.
And, like, pasta.
Hummus.
And chips.
Cheese.
and cheese.
Baked beans. I like those too. Wow, do I ever like them? I like a good salad as well. I don't know, man. When we played, we stayed at the Marriott when we went to BlizzCon, and we ate lunch there a couple times. The food was fucking good, man.
Yeah, it's true.
I really liked it. Like, they had a good spread.
So some hotels can definitely have. But I mean, most hotels, unless they had like a dedicated restaurant that had like. Like, I always think if you've got a restaurant attached to a hotel, like a lot of them have, it has to be an external. Yeah, it's got to be open externally. If it's literally is just for guests, it's not going to be great. Because honestly, what choice have you got? Like, you're in the hotel.
No, and I don't think I've ever ordered like room service food that I thought was good, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's functional, you know? It'll be functional.
It'll be, yeah, like chips and a basic sandwich, you know? You can't get anything that's, you know, I'd never order a fucking anything nice. I'd never order a sushi or a steak of room service, or do you know what I mean? Like anything that was vaguely upmarket at all.
Like the grilled cheese or something.
Yeah, I'll get like that maybe, yeah. And it's just not worth any risk on like anything
but
else.
But then do you think that maybe your expectations are like too high in that case? Because like, I mean, if you're just going to order like a margarita pizza, I mean, it's just a margarita pizza, right?
No.
Like,
it's not.
It's not meant to change your life. Like,
no, but
there's
some food.
It's meant
like,
to keep you going for a couple hours.
Have you ever had a margarita pizza that you thought, this is fantastic? Rather than just, that was the default margarita pizza. That was
every
what I was expecting.
Every time I eat a margarita pizza, literally, I'm like, this is fantastic. Because normally I'm pretty hungry at the time. I'm fucking ready to devour that margarita pizza. So yeah, every time I eat one, I'm like that.
You're a simple man.
I don't know if I'm simple. I think I'm a realistic guy. Like, some people live to eat. I just eat to live.
That's a shame. Food's great, dude. Like, I love it. If you,
yeah,
you go for
it is
a really
great.
Good meal.
I like it, but like, I'd rather spend my time doing like other stuff. Sometimes I find eating a bit of a pain in the ass. Like, sometimes, some days I'm like, I wish that we could just like, you know, inject ourselves with something that would just keep us like nourished for like a week or something.
That's,
so I wouldn't
you know
have
what?
To cook any
that's
meals
a question I ask Mrs. Flax quite often because she really loves food, right? She's a real foodie. She loves restaurants and all that kind of stuff. Right. And I said to her, if you, like, I ask her these questions all the time, if you could never do X again, you know, but we can stay together, and if you want to ever do X again, we have to get married, would you stay with me? You know, I ask her those sort of questions. They're very tedious for her, but it amuses me greatly. So the one thing I say to her is, would we still be married if in order to stay married, you could only consume a life-sustaining gruel, like a thin gruel? That was the only choice of food that you had for the rest of your life. Nothing else. You could never have any other food again, just the gruel, but we get to stay together. She pauses for a troublingly long amount of time, but she does eventually decide that we can stay together.
Weighing it up.
She's thinking about it because she's thinking, Jesus, like never been able to have good food again, just the gruel every day for the rest of my life. And I worry if this ever comes to pass, which I'm sure it will she at some point come to resent me? And she'll think, you're not worth the gruel. You know, the gruel, I changed my mind. Like, we'll have an argument one day and she'll be like, do you know what? Fuck this. I want some ice cream. We're getting a divorce. I'm sick of the gruel. I do worry.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with food. Food, the type of foods that you eat and certain foods really contribute to your, obviously, your well-being. But like, you're like not just that, like your general mood, everything, right? Like, the healthier you eat, it's more boring, but you feel so much better in so many ways, right? And that's why that's why like a lot of the top chefs will like really dress up and tart up like healthy foods, you know, like they'll make them super good to eat and like a pleasant experience to eat, and then you feel really good and stuff like that. I think you would just get like instantly depressed if you were eating something unpleasant all the time and you never had like any other options sort of thing. I'm not saying that I want to eat unpleasant food. Like if I could just eat like a very like pleasant space paste or like drink like a really nutritious chocolate milkshake like three times a day, I would do it because I'm so fucking lazy. I don't want to prepare anything. I half the time, like I don't even really want to open the fridge and deal with what's in there. Like I just like, you know, give me a capsule or something that I can just swallow and then boom, I'm fed for like a week.
Lewis, you like food, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I'm a lover of food.
Oh, yeah. Food? Yo. Oh, yeah. Whew, forget about it. Food?
Oh, you're crazy.
You talking about food? Oh, yeah. You know me and food.
Well, it's like one of the only things, you know, if James Bond was here right now, you know, he'd say, like, he was like listening on his fingers, he'd be like, you know, fast cars, faster women, and slow food.
Slow food, yeah.
Slow food.
Would you guys, like, so would you, I mean, one thing that I would love to do is have somebody come in and cook meals. And this is like a common thing apparently in India, okay? It's like I used to work with a guy from India who was over here in Jersey. He was like on a secondment for a couple of years, like working at the bank and stuff. And he said back home, you know, they would have like lots of like dals and they'd have like, you know, lots of curries and stuff like that. But he lived with like three other guys, and what they did was they all chipped in. And some dude would come to their house every day and prepare just a ton of food to like see them through the day or whatever. And he said it was fucking amazing. Like this guy was just like a really good cook, like really good chef, made like all this really healthy stuff. It was like tasted delicious. It was like super nice. He'd like, you know, he'd prepare it like hot. And if some of them didn't feel like eating, then they could just like have it later or whatever and stuff.
It's like lunches for a few days worth as well.
Oh man, I would be up for that.
Holy
okay.
Shit.
I could really get into food if that was the case, but I don't know how much that costs.
Guaranteed that dude's jizzing in that food. I'm just saying. Whoa. I'm just calling it right now. Guaranteed.
Wow, no.
Yeah. I don't know. He's preparing it right in front of them. So, like, so some of them have to know that this is
also
happening.
That's a key element of the spicy flavor.
Yeah.
As a connoisseur, you know, I can.
What's
bit
the
jizz.
Secret sauce made of?
My spicy jizz.
Really?
Fantastic.
Yes. Whoa, okay. Well,
my
geez.
Compliments to your balls. Fabulous.
Well, I mean, it's people eat all sorts of horrible shit. So quite honestly, like, I'm surprised there isn't like a sought after spice, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, it's got it's a real sort of quiet taste, but yeah, it's got a real piquancy.
There's that French that French dish. It's like a stew or something that has to have shit in it. That's one of the ingredients.
What do you mean?
Human shit is one of the ingredients in the dish.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
It's true. But they also eat a thing called, I think it's called the ortolan, which is like a tiny baby bird that they stuff it with food so much. I think it might even be foie gras or something that they force feed this thing. So it's just like a ball of fat that also has feathers on it. And then you eat it like whole. You just put the whole thing in your mouth. And because the beak and the claws are still on there, it scratches up your gums, and the taste of the blood from your cut up mouth adds to the flavor. Like the French are,
I mean,
they've gone too far. They've gone too far.
Well, you know what it's like. It's like the inflation fetish thing, though, again, right? It's like 1%, or not even 1%, like 0.001% of people, but it gets more publicity because it's so extreme or it's so gross and so weird. Because we're like, we just question it. You know, I think what's more gross is like, you know, leaving milk in a flipping thing with some mold and letting it go increasingly moldy. And they go, oh, lovely, Stilton. Oh, it tastes so delicious. Look, I'm just shoveling it down your face. Like, that's sour, fungus, moldy milk. Like, how is that? Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people find that really gross. But we're totally accepting of cheese, aren't we?
You got a problem with cheese?
Yeah. One time I was in France, okay? This is when I used to eat meat. And we always struggle, like, when we go to France, because my wife back then was still a vegetarian. I wasn't quite a vegetarian. But even then, French food can be very different depending on the region of France that you're in, right? So we went to this restaurant. We were really hungry. It took forever to find something that, like, my wife could get that didn't have meat in it or whatever. But we found something. And then I was just like, I was super hungry, and I was just like, I want something like kind of familiar. So I'll get like this sausage and chips, right? But it's like a blood sausage. But I didn't realize it at the time. Like, I thought it was just going to be like a normal kind of sausage and like some chips or whatever. So I order this thing, and I'm super hungry, and I'm waiting, and we're just talking and stuff. And then
I love how you go to the most posh French restaurant.
But
I will have the sausage and chips,
but
please.
I was desperate. I was not feeling adventurous at all. I was just hungry. Like, I just wanted something somewhat familiar. I just needed to eat, sort of thing. Waiter comes out with this plate with the sausage on it, and he puts it down. And instantly this smell hits me. And for a split second, I was like, fuck me. This guy hates English people, and he's done a dump on my plate. Like, I actually thought he shit on my plate. Like, I thought he's being like really rude or something. And I had to like do a double take. And I was like, oh my God. And then I tried this thing, and oh my God, it was, oh fuck. I just ate the chips. Like, I couldn't do it. Like, it was so fucking bad. Holy shit.
Oh,
and, like,
shame.
I'm starving right now.
Yeah,
that,
go get some
that
blood
has really set me off, because, man, I could really just get a whole blood sausage. Well, my mouth's quite small, though, so I maybe got the whole
small
thing.
Small blood sausage.
At once.
Yeah, just a really tiny one.
But,
yeah.
Like, I could nibble on it.
Like a cocktail. You need a cocktail blood sausage. Do you have a small version of this?
Get a funnel and put it in Lewis's mouth and grind up the sausage into tiny pieces for his tiny little mouth. And
I'm starving now. Can we round this off?
I don't know, man. Like, some food can fuck right off, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. I think I can't believe that some people eat that stuff and they, you know, they go on and on and on about it. And it's like, fucking just eat and just shut up about it. Christ.
I don't know. Food's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. And I sort of became a bit vegetarian, and then I did vegan for January, and that was really hard. And then I sort of went back to being vegetarian, and I tried lots of different things. And then recently I was in a few sort of restaurants. We went out for dim sum, and I was like, man, I can't just have the vegetarian options. I've got to try some of these things. It was quite nice. So it was quite nice to eat a little bit of meat again, just because, I don't know, it's like a treat kind of thing. But no, I feel like I think being a vegetarian is really healthy. I'm definitely trying to do it as best I can. And man, there's so many vegetables. I've got a new little garden. I'm going to plant some. I've got some plants I plan to plant in it.
Nice.
I've got some bulbs. I've got some little trees. Yeah, so I'm moving to a new flat in like a week.
Mm. Oh yeah, where are you? Nice. Yeah, congrats.
So, and it's got a little garden, and so I'm looking forward to planting that up with some summer veg and just seeing how that goes. It's nice. one of my goals. But yeah, I've been cooking lots of different things, cooking with weird stuff, drinking lots of weird like teas and stuff. There's like a new health food shop nearby that's like quite cool.
There's nothing cool about a health food shop, but that does sound good for you.
I'd say about half the things I cook are disgusting. Yeah, and inedible, but right. Some of them are like, wow, that actually was pretty good. And you know, I got some shiitake mushrooms the other day, cooked those up, and man, they were really fucking nice. Actually,
good.
It surprised
really
me.
Fucking awful.
Really?
Yeah, they were just disgusting.
But yeah, I know a lot of people, because I used to hate mushrooms. Right?
I know a lot of people.
A lot of people hate mushrooms for because they don't like the texture, they don't like the flavor, don't like blah blah blah. But it's like same thing with olives as well. That olives, a lot of people don't like olives, but olives are such a spectrum, and so are mushrooms, that you can have like something completely different. And so you shouldn't just dismiss all, you know, it's like, you know, you had a bad one once, sure, but that doesn't mean all of them are like that. Anyway, I love a mushroom. And I think that I was watching this documentary about these guys who prepare sort of vegetables as the main dish. So rather than having like, you know, a big chicken leg or a big old whatever steak, they cook up a really nice squash or a carrot as like a main dish.
They sound like great company and a ton of fun. I'd love to get them over for a fucking vegetable barbecue one time.
Wait, so you have to eat meat to be fun? What the fuck? Like, you have to what? You just have to slap down some shitty processed meat on a barbecue to have fun?
I like how Sips is mocking me. Sips, you are the worst vegetarian. I think I visited you for a week and we didn't eat a single vegetable, unless you count chips, which are not a vegetable.
Well, they technically are, but...
It was like all cheese, pasta, pizza, like some salads, sure, but like vegetables-wise...
So instantly, we did eat some vegetables. Great, I'm glad that you admitted that. So, sorry, what was your point?
I love how you're not on my side here, as you're like a half-ass vegetarian.
No, Sips's problem was that I claimed that you have to eat meat to have fun. And all I'm saying is that if I had some people around for dinner, or I went to someone's house for dinner, and they said, we're doing a roast, and I was like, fantastic. And they said, here it is, and presented a roast squash, I would punch him in the fucking balls. I would punch him in the fucking balls.
You would not hit the wall. You'd be fine. It would be great. I
would say,
it probably tastes pretty good.
I would take off my napkin and fold it neatly and place it on the table. I would rise from the table, and I would say, gentlemen, I have been lied to. You are a pair of mendacious vegetarians, and I'm leaving. And I would storm out.
But sir, this apple pie, I've just cooked it freshly for you.
Oh, sir, you must try my apple pie. It might have a few hairs.
Just for you.
You get this a lot, though, as a vegetarian. Like, they get such a bad rap for no reason. Like, there's plenty of vegetarian meals that are really, really nice. They're really good. And people just assume that you're just some weird fucking tree hugger because you don't want to eat, like, fucking shitty mass-produced processed meat.
I think the main problem I've got is
that... I think people that eat that shit are the people who have a fucking issue.
First of all, the assumption that vegetarians always make is that somehow everyone that eats meat eats the worst raised, shittiest quality meat that you can. Like, you're just dragging baby chicks out of a battery farm and shoveling them in our blood-soaked faces. Oh,
I'd say, like, 80% of the meat that you get in a grocery store is like that. So,
no, it's not.
I mean, unless you're sourcing from a local butcher that has, like, some fucking cows, like, out back that he slaughters freshly for you, you probably are eating that shit. So.
I would say depends on what meat you're buying. I mean, if you're buying a fucking squash
or an aubergine, that's unlikely to have been involved in some sort of massive animal cruelty situation,
right.
Is
but
it?
I tell you
do
what,
you know what I mean?
I bet it tastes...
You know where that's fucking come
tastes
from?
Tastes just
someone's
as good as a fucking,
fucking
steak,
fucking ground.
Doesn't it? Oh, yeah. You know what I could go for now? Some roast aubergine. Oh, my mouth's watering. Or a juicy steak. How about that? Name one time that anyone's ever thought, oh, I'm so hungry right now, I could really go for some corn. Mmm, corn me up.
Well,
I'm starving.
Corn doesn't count, right?
No,
because it's not a fucking vegetable.
Yeah,
well,
it's
sort of made of tofu, but...
It's tolerable. Nobody's saying that it's, like, as good as a steak.
You're wrong. You're as wrong as it gets. Meat's great.
You might
it's here to stay.
I mean, corn
meat,
is the
meat,
chicken
meat,
nuggets
meat,
of
meat, meat,
of vegetarianism.
Meat. This is meat for the next 10 minutes. Meat, meat. Meat, meat.
You're like
meat,
Rod Swanson.
Meat. Oh, I don't have a problem with vegetarians. I know loads of people are vegetarians. We had a vegetarian live with us for about a month, I think, because he was up here. He was looking for a flat. He was my sister's boyfriend at the time. And we got, you know, have you heard of Yotam Ottolenghi, right? He's like this, he cooks all this vegetarian stuff. His stuff was really good, you know, it was really good. We just had all this vegetarian food for dinner and everything. It was fine. I mean, geez, you don't miss meat that much. But I wouldn't want to do it full time. And I hate the way vegetarians have to go on and on. Not you, Sips. You're different. You're my kind of vegetarian, right? You're just like, oh, no, I don't eat meat. That's cool. But it's like you order some food and they're like, did you know the provenance of that meat? That cow suffered. Shut the fuck up. Come on.
I only bust those out when somebody starts to like make fun of the fact that I don't eat it. Because honestly, I could give less of a shit what anybody else
eats. I've never
mocked
your vegetarianism.
No, I know. But some people really go out of their way and you think like, what the fuck is the problem here? Like, who cares what I'm eating? Like, I'm just fucking trying to get by same as you, okay? You eat whatever you fucking eat. I'm just going to eat whatever I fucking eat. It's not that interesting a fucking topic of conversation to begin with. Like, let's fucking talk about tits or something instead.
But who goes on about you being a vegetarian? Who's
a guy I used to work with did a lot. And it was like, it was pretty weird because he kept fucking going on about it. He was like obsessed with it, you know, like he'd always have this smirk. Like every time we'd go to like a meal or something like that, he'd be like, no, well, Simpson's going to be able to get anything from here and stuff. Like it was always this big fucking deal. And I just like, I'd always just go along with it. Be like, whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's work. And what are you going to do? Right.
Yeah. And then, so he was like having some problems. He was like fucking sweating profusely, like just out of nowhere at work and stuff. And he thought he was like about to have a heart attack or something. He had to go to the doctor a bunch of times and stuff. And then he just did like a total reversal because he went to the doctor and the doctor's like, yeah, your cholesterol is like super fucking high. Like you're super unhealthy. You've got to stop eating meat basically. And he's like, oh fuck, I can't eat meat anymore. And then, so he comes to work and he's all sheepish. He's like, I can't eat meat anymore. It's like, oh, well that's fucking great, isn't it, asshole? And like, now you got to fucking eat the shit that I eat that you've been making fun of for like 3 fucking years, you intolerable prick. And then so he had to. And it was really fucking funny. Like he was like a broken man after that. It was really fucking great,
that's,
actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
God, there's nothing worse than the asshole at work that you just have to see every fucking day. Everybody's got one.
I never had to deal with him much, which is nice. And like, and when I did, I would just sort of ignore it or something. But man, people rose to that shit all the time and he loved it. You know, like he just wanted to fucking be in the middle of some drama and he was just like, would love like winding people up and stuff. And he was just like, you can see why people get depressed working in office jobs because there's always one or two guys like that in these places. Like they're just like, I don't know what's wrong with them, but like they just seem to really go out of their way to like make people's lives like an absolute misery at work sort of thing. And like, it's just crazy. Like, I'm so glad I don't have to work at an office.
Oh, yeah, man, gosh.
They really are the worst. Jesus. Like,
God, there were so many assholes that I've worked with over the years. Like, it actually, one of the important things it teaches you is tolerance. Like, yeah. if you have to just learn to put up with
people that you never thought you'd ever have to put up with.
Yeah, yeah. And you might have to sit next to them there at the next desk. Where, you know, you just have to deal with it day in, day out.
Or even
out.
Worse, they're in charge of you and you're what the worst. Fuck. Holy shit. How is this guy telling me what to do? Like, that's the worst. But you have to put up with it.
That's why I never got on in any job I ever had was I would be fine with most of my colleagues, no problem, get on with them really well. But the person in charge, the person that you've got to take orders from, that always burned me up, man. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I'm a free spirit. I wouldn't mind, not meant to be caged.
You know, like, you know, in these movies, like especially in war movies, right? Like, you have, like, there's, like a group of guys that are in, like, a battalion together or whatever, and they really respect, like, their sarge, and, like, and they'll do anything for him, and they'll risk their lives for him, and he's, like, super experienced and, like, knows what he's doing, and he leads them all really well and stuff. And I think if I worked at a job with a guy like that in charge of me, holy shit, you know, like, I would be, like, on the verge of sucking his dick all the time. Like, I would have no problem with that. But the fact of the matter is, and the harsh reality is that mostly the people that are going to be in charge of you in an office are not skilled. They have fucking managerial experience. They have no fucking people skills half the time. They don't know what they're fucking doing. Like, they can't even do their job, let alone manage you. But these are the people that have to, like, review your performance and stuff. And it's a really fucking, it's quite the pill to swallow sometimes, because you're just sitting there like, you're fucking managing my performance? Like, what the fuck do you do all day, asshole? Like, it's crazy. It's really nuts.
Amen.
I'm never going back.
Amen.
If all this ends tomorrow, I'll fucking go, like, work as a road sweeper or something.
I'll be homeless.
Before
I don't
back
fucking
to
care.
A fucking
do, yeah,
office.
Anything.
There's no fucking way.
Anything where, well, I'm away from an office. I could
maybe
do.
You can be a freelance science fiction writer. Ooh. Publishing your works on the internet under the pseudonym
Buck Naked.
Well, wasn't really implying that. Is there a bodega today?
No, there's not. And I want to make a bodega announcement. There aren't going to be any more on the podcast.
Oh. Okay. Are they going to be standalone?
What the fuck are we going to fill the last, like, 20 minutes with then now?
Vegetarian stuff.
Right, okay.
For a balanced diet. Well, no, the stuff I write now is going in the book. The stuff I write now is going in the book. That's it.
Right,
okay. I don't want anymore else.
Okay.
Well, I for one, am very excited. Thank you for listening to the Dreadfuls podcast this week, everybody. I'm a bit sad to hear there's going to be no more bodegas on the podcast, but they did always feel a little bit tacked on, a little bit weird, a little bit unusual. It felt a bit weird having them. I think they deserve to be up front, if anything, you know.
We have to figure out what we're going to replace it with. And if it's vegetarian recipes, I got a real zinger for you guys right now.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so what you do is you get a brick of halloumi, okay? You cut it up into little squares. You shove that in the frying pan. And then you cut up a whole bunch of peppers, okay? Green peppers, yellow peppers, red peppers, all the peppers. You put a bunch of those in the pan as well. Then you dice up an onion, okay? And you put all of the onion into the pan too, and it's sizzling away there, and it's starting to smell really good. If you want to, optionally, boil up a little bit of rice on the side, and then, like, right as everything is, like, getting ready, like, fried up in the pan and stuff, just chuck the rice in, like, a couple of minutes and stuff. Put all of it into a bowl and stuff. Oh, put some salt and pepper on there as well. It's pretty nice. Put it all into a bowl after it's all done frying up and stuff, and then get some soft tortillas, wraps, right? Okay? Dice up some tomatoes. Get some lettuce. Man, like, the best fucking meal you'll ever have, I'm telling you. So good. It's really good. Some big fucking wraps.
That sounds good. If I'm going to leave every podcast, like, drooling, this is probably not gonna go so well for me.
It's so easy to make, too. It takes, like, 10 minutes, seriously.
That is good. You might not need a bit of too much salt, because halloumi is quite salty.
Yeah, but you can put some extra salt if you want.
And you can always add a little bit of spicy sauce or whatever floats your boat. That sounds like a top recipe, though, Sips. I think that's kind of the thing I usually make when I'm over yours.
Yeah.
We are going to go. Thank you for listening, everybody.
All right.
And we'll see you next week.
Peace!
On the Dreadfuls Podcast.
Bye!
Goodbye!